Portichelle Foundation, Copper Country Senior Meals, and Dial Help are now Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. We are excited to announce this new name as it marks the start of a new era in community support. Copper Shores will continue to offer the same programs, services, and opportunities as before, as well as identify and fill service gaps within the community. With a passionate team dedicated to the well-being of community members, we can move our community forward in more ways than ever before. To learn more about our vision for a more healthful community, visit coppershores.org.
Once again, good Sunday morning and welcome to Copper Country Today. I'm Todd Van Dyke. Our program is brought to you by the Copper Shores Community Health Foundation. Learn about them at coppershores.org. It is the month that is designated to sign up for a library card. And I thought it would give us a good excuse to talk libraries with Katrina Lindy Moriarty, who is the director of the Portage Lake District Library. Katrina, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me again.
The library is actively looking for folks to come get library cards. We might as well start with that.
Yep. So we launched the National Library Card Sign Up Month with six new library designs working with Studio 13, a local artist, to feature different sites that you can see around the library, such as the Portage Bridge, the Quincy Vine, the brand new pier to the side of the library, as well as two library designs as well. And so what's great is during the month of September, we are waiving any replacement costs for library cards that are damaged or lost. So if you've been putting off getting a new library card, right now is the best time to get one.
So if I have a library card but I want one of these pretty new ones, I suppose all I would have to do is come in and say, gee, I lost my card, Katrina.
You could say those exact words and get a brand new library card. Absolutely.
What brought this idea about? It's a great idea.
In all honesty, we were running out of our current edition of the library cards, so the ones with the words that were kind of like winter was my reading sport, and those were fantastic until the file got corrupted and I couldn't make them anymore. So we looked around, and Chris is a wonderful local artist. His art is well known around here, so I went and asked him, like, would you like your art on a library card? Can we partner with that? And he said, absolutely.
Well, it's great of him to do that, and great for the library, and makes everybody's wallet feel a little bit better when there's something in it that reflects some local scene, I suppose.
Absolutely. I will say that one of the designs I wanted to get was the Uper Loop, but I got outvoted by my staff.
We want happy things.
I love that design, though. If anyone knows that kind of two-tone design I'm talking about, I feel like people feel strongly one way or the other on that design.
Yeah, I'm not happy about the Uper Loop, but I haven't figured out anything better. So until I have something better in mind that I could suggest, I just keep myself quiet about it. Because I've always figured if you're going to gripe about something, you better propose an alternative. And well, I don't got one.
There, in Madison, where I last came from, there is this six-directional intersection that has one way, and then two ways off of it. And that is one of the worst intersections I've seen. So the Uper Loop is almost like a ballet compared to some.
Yeah, and some of those double roundabouts that they have downstate now, they're kind of messy too. So I'm thinking the Uper Loop looking better all the time. So the library cards for the Portage Lake District Library, who can get them?
So anyone can get a library card. It's just we might have to negotiate some fees if you're in district versus out of district and vice versa.
What is the district?
So our district is the City of Houghton and the Township of Portage. So both of those have levied a millage, and so their fees come out of their property taxes. We figure out what the average medium is for somebody to that is paying in district, and we apply that to both individual and family rates for those out of district. So instead of coming out of your taxes like it does in district through the millage, you're paying upfront almost like a membership service. Think, you know, Hoopla and Netflix and all of that, but on either a 3-month, 6-month, or annual basis.
And how does this relate then to the Hancock Library, which you are still administering?
Yes. So we hold a contract with the Hancock School District to administer the Hancock School Public Library on their behalf. So they give us the equivalent of 0.4 of a mil, and with that money, we turn around and we dedicate all that money back into the school public library for its materials, for its staffing, and other resources that it might need.
Who is eligible for a card on that side of things?
So that is within the school district, and then there is also an out a district fee, but we're still negotiating the ins and outs of that. So that might be coming down the line. But right now, anyone can get a library card at the Hancock School Public Library. But we are working towards, a medium average of that 0.4 mil equivalent. And I think it was sitting last that we checked around $27. So still a pretty good bang for your buck.
Yeah, and that means that basically anybody in the Copper Country
absolutely
can take advantage of the Portage Lake District Library, and you just have to, you're paying for it one way or the other.
I will say that the cards are separate. So if you have a Hancock card, it doesn't work at PLDL, and if you have a PLDL card, it doesn't work at Hancock. So even though we're kind of joined at the hip, we're still our own entities.
You have made some changes at the library. You did some physical changes, some remodeling. Tell me how that went and how things changed.
Yeah, so if some people might remember, we were closed for 2 weeks in May, and during that time, we moved everything over to one side of the library and the other side of the library and back as we redid all the carpeting throughout the library. I think they did a pretty fantastical job of it. If you haven't been in to see, we wanted to capture what the Portage Canal looks like at the height of summer. So right now there is a canal, a bit of waterway that goes down the middle of the library with banks on either side, and I'm really excited to see what that looks like in winter, surrounded by all of that white and snow.
So you're not bringing actual water in, though?
No. That would be
that's
the Father's Day flood, and we are past
that. That's not good for books.
It is really not good for books.
No, well, and you've got books in there that I assume some of them have some value, at least historically, perhaps, to the Copper Country.
Yeah, so even though the public library is mostly a popular collection, so newer books or books that are currently in fashion, we also have a historical collection where we have resources that are dedicated to the Copper Country as a good place for people to start their journey in diving into history. And then we are well connected with both the cultural and historical centers around the area for that next step.
Next step would be you've got something that's of such historical significance that it would go to the tech archives or someplace like that?
Absolutely. As you had just mentioned, water is always a concern. We are right down on the pier, and sometimes having a facility that's dedicated to that kind of archival work and labor is the best place for those materials that are very sensitive.
Does this include the types of materials that somebody would look at, for example, if they were researching their family tree?
That's correct. We do have a good handful of resources on site, and you can access the library edition of Ancestry.com on site as well. But we'd like to see ourselves as the first place in that step, in that journey, and then help to inform you where the next place to look for that information.
Because people are always telling me where to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, well, people just tell me all the time, Todd, you should go.
One of the best resources that has come out and relaunched in the last year or so is The Time Traveler, which is in conjunction with the Carnegie Historical Society and Michigan Tech's archives, I believe. And it is an interactive Google map that they've put plaque maps over a Google map and data points. And you can actually go in over a period of time for a physical location in Calumet and in the Hancock Houghton area and have people travel across that map over time, but also see who is living and working and learning at a location over time, too.
Yeah, it's a fascinating app. I follow them on Facebook, mm-hmm. and they put some real interesting stuff up. Matter of fact, I was just making a note the other day. I need to reach out to them and see if they want to come on the program sometime.
I think they'd be fantastic.
And talk about it, because it's a great way to look. We are so history-oriented mm-hmm. in the Copper Country. It's not uncommon for me, at least, to look at a spot and say, gee, I wonder what this was 100 years ago, or I wonder what was here 100 years ago. And that's the app that can help you discover that stuff.
Absolutely. So, I looked up my own residence to see if it was always a split-level residence, one of those old houses that has a first level and a second level, and it actually was built to be both a residency at the bottom and a residency at the top.
An up-and-down duplex, mm-hmm. so to speak. So the Portage Lake District Library is, there has been, Katrina, Lindy, Moriarty, there has been some library controversy in the last several years. There have been people in, I think, other parts of the nation that have been critical of what you find on the shelves of the library from one side of the political spectrum or the other. Has that touched us at all?
It's touched us a little bit, but I think it's all coming from the right place. So we have a lot of well-intentioned citizens and residents, and I think that whenever you have a community-type structure, a lot of people feel protective over that and want to make sure that it's hitting all the marks that it should. I think what's tricky about public libraries is we span the spectrum. We talked kind of at the beginning of the history portion. Well, we're also kind of capturing all those emerging trends, emerging topics, and sometimes those can be in conflict with each other. And so how, as a community, do we bring those topics together and showcase various aspects that people want to know and learn more about? And one of the ways we do that is through our displays. So I will state that we don't have any book challenges, but we sometimes have concerns over the type of displays that we promote, the types of topics. So on any given month, it can range from, this month we've got turtles and double feature, book movie films, as well as the 9/11 memorial and, of course, National Library Card Sign Up Month. So we try to make sure that our displays are curated for the times that are relevant to the topics that are being discussed in school, such as Latinx Heritage Month, which is just coming up upon us, and make sure that we are also picking topics that we are hearing from our patrons that they would like to know where those materials are.
So, I mean, I can't imagine a good library that wouldn't have something in it that I wouldn't like.
I have my
views on things, obviously, yeah, as everybody does. And it is certainly the library's obligation to present all views on things and have materials on all sides of issues. I can't imagine that there would be things that I would not look at and say, boy, I find that I have a problem with that.
Yep, and we do strive for that, but we also try to balance age appropriateness, making sure that the materials that we do add to the collection are appropriate for the age groups that they would be going into. I think what can be tricky is our teen category. They're still youth, they're still minors, but they're also starting to kind of develop a little bit of themselves. And we, across staff, have a whole collection development committee that's dedicated to making sure to check each other's biases, and we also go through training throughout the year on the topic. We also really believe strongly in parents' right to work with their children, to talk with the youth in their life, parents and guardians alike, to have conversations around those tough topics. I hope that we have resources that can help that, but it can also be a little tricky when they find their kid with that title before that conversation happens.
Yeah, and that has to be a challenge, because on one hand, there are parents who are very protective of their children and don't want them to learn certain things until certain times. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, we recognize that there are an awful lot of media outlets for kids to learn those things that maybe their parents would like to shield them from. Maybe the kids are more familiar with them than the parents know. They go into the library, pick something out, and mom and dad are not happy.
Yeah, and we do try to, again, work with both sides of that equation. I think another thing to remember is librarians are not loco parentis like teachers are. So we're not mandated reporters. We do not see ourselves as being in place of a parent or guardian. We completely give that right to the parents and guardians, and we encourage them to come to the library with their youth, see what they're checking out, be invested in what they want to learn more about.
And that would be the key, communication and oversight on the part of the parents to say, hey, let's go to the library and I'm going to check out a book or two as well, so we can check out together and I can look down and see what the kid is checking out. And if that's not appropriate, I can say something.
And that, absolutely. My mom did that for me, and we definitely had some more interesting conversations at times when she's like, did you know XYZ about this book? And I'm like, I had no idea. Let's talk about it. But I had a really good open relationship with my mom. And, it differs from, parent and guardian to child. And so we all at the library want to respect that and make sure that we can help encourage lifelong literacy, lifelong learning. And sometimes that can have some bumps along the way.
Yeah, I remember going to the library with my mom and my sisters when I was very young. And we would go every couple of weeks, because that was the return date of mm-hmm. the Kalamazoo Public Library. We would go every couple of weeks and get new books. I, as a child, often had trouble figuring out what kind of books and what books I wanted to take out. I was, you know, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade at the time. I wasn't exactly reading book reviews and, you know, talking with my friends about, gee, this is a great book you should read. How do we help kids decide what books they might be interested in and what books are appropriate?
Yeah, so what we do across my staff, beyond the continuing education factor and making sure that we are up to speed on what is popular amongst various age groups, and book talk for that matter, because a lot of kids are on TikTok and they often come with recommendations from there too, is we...
And we know that everything on TikTok is completely reliable.
Absolutely. No, this is... This is not true. But we do our best to meet the need that is in front of us. So we do what is called a reference interview. We ask a lot of open-ended questions. You know, what are you learning about in school right now? What was the last book that really excited you? And as much as we want to help on the educational factor, we also want to make reading fun. So we really try to pair the kid in front of us with a book that's really going to spark their interest.
Well, and that was the thing when I was growing up. I've had all sorts of things to read from school that were my educational things. I never went to the library to get something that furthered my education about something. I went to the library to get my escape. How much of that still happens? I'm well removed from that at this point. Being now in my late 60s, I haven't taken a child to a library in a long, long time. Are there still kids coming in buying those reading those books, or is everybody off now with their little screens and tablets and television screens?
Oh, we have a wonderful wealth of readers in the community, and I will say that it warms our little librarian hearts when we are able to put the right book into the hands of a child. One of the things, do you want to hear something that really blows their mind?
Yeah, absolutely.
I will often, if I've got a really reluctant reader, I will tell them, all right, you have to promise me, if you don't like this book after, you know, given the age range, 10, 15 pages, you have my permission to put it down. And they're like, what? I can stop reading the book? I'm like, absolutely, don't finish it.
You can
don't
stop
waste your time.
Book.
And I will say that to adults too. You know, you do not have to finish a book. If you are not enjoying it, I mean, unless that's your prerogative that you like to, you know, if you start a book, you finish it. More power to you.
Because it might get better anytime. Chapter 19 is going to be the best, I can tell.
Sure, but I think sometimes we need to remind ourselves that reading can be fun, and it can be hard to build up reading as an escape. Not everyone actually sees the story in their mind. So that's not something that affects all people. That actually happens over years and years. Can you tap into that kind of space? I don't know if you know, like when you're driving and you kind of forget that you're on the road a little bit. You can do that with reading. I don't recommend doing it with reading, but you know what I mean when you're like all of a sudden you're just focusing and you're thinking about life and everything.
I might hit a book about a deer.
Sure. That might not be the perfect analogy, but you know, you kind of zone out a little bit and you end up at your destination. You're like, I got here somehow.
How did I get here?
Yeah. Well, reading can do that too, but that's not always a factor for everyone. And so we try to take that into account. Not everyone's going to be reading high fantasy. Not everyone's going to want a graphic novel. Some kids really like fact books because there's no start or end to those books. You can open it up to any page and learn about something.
I loved those when I was a kid.
They're fantastic. Apparently, they're also great for winning Jeopardy. I don't know if you know that.
Because I'm really good at Jeopardy.
Yeah. So if you want to be really good at Jeopardy, come read fact books in the children's area specifically.
Someone once asked how I remembered all this stuff. And I said, you've heard of people who have a mind like a steel trap? I have a mind like a lint trap. Gray, fluffy stuff blows in, it sticks there, and never goes out.
Just the random stuff.
The valueless stuff. You know, it's not stuff that I need to make myself rich or anything like that. But by golly, if you want a Jeopardy partner or a trivia partner, I'm the guy.
As a librarian, so. I just hope to get one answer right on Jeopardy. That's all.
What about grown-ups who come in, and particularly maybe those who haven't been doing a lot of reading? I know there are tons of books that come out, and they're reviewed in the Washington Post and the New York Times, and some of them are heavy and some of them are not, and there's a lot of them. How do I sort out and start deciding what I, as an adult, might like to read?
So we have a couple things. You know, we have that reference interview. You can always come and talk with us. But sometimes you kind of want to do your own research. So I would suggest two things. We have a print periodical that we get monthly called Book Pages. And I call that your window shopping. So you can pick up one of those Book Pages from our circulation desk and go in and see editorial reviews of all of the hot and coming books that are coming out for that month. Another thing we have is a database called Novelist. And that is a way that you can put in, you can find read-alikes. So say you just read a really amazing book, you want to see who else writes like that, what else has been, is kind of near to that type of literature. You can go in and find read-alikes for either the title or for the author, or you can go in and kind of keyword search. You can put in, I want a cowboy who gets the girl, the dog doesn't die, and everyone's fine in the end, or something like that. And it will come up with suggestions.
This sounds like it's a whole lot easier than it was 50 years ago when I was...
A little bit, but we appreciate the company, too, when people come in. But we have many, many different ways. I mean, there's so many different free resources online as well. You know, librarians are here, but there's other things that can help, too. And we just try to partner people and resources together.
Talking with Katrina Lindy Moriarty, the director of the Portage Lake District Library. Got a few minutes left here. Let's talk about some of the other things the library does, because you're no longer just books. You have all sorts of things going on. You have groups that meet. You have services that you provide. You have a free room that I can use.
We have multiple free rooms that you can use. So that's something that is new that was also part of the redesign, is we installed two smaller meeting rooms and soon a conference room. It's a little delayed at the moment. The smaller study room will be about two people. We've got a medium-sized one at about eight. The conference room will be up to 16, and then we also have a community program room that can be up to 50. And those are available to be rented out, and not rented, but, you know, reserved by any member within the community for free.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. You've got some, you have all these classes and groups going on. You have Lego groups and things like that that sound fun.
Yeah. And one thing I do want to point out is we used to have just one story time weekly, Wednesdays at 10:30, and we have expanded to better capture the needs of our community to a second story time Thursdays at 1:30 in the afternoon. So both story times will cover the same topic, the same craft, but then you have more choices on when to go with your children that fits your schedule.
Yeah, and those are wonderful little breaks for moms and dads and...
And grandparents.
And grandparents, I'm sure, for the small children before school age to go in and get their hands on something, kind of breaks up their week a little bit. And
yeah, work on those fine motor skills, learn some new words, maybe a song.
Well, and get used to the concept of the library, because mm-hmm. if you start a child young on the reading path, that does nothing but good things for them for the rest of their life.
Absolutely.
So you have the meeting rooms that you've established. What are some of the other groups that you have that are meeting at the public library?
We have a Lego club that is in partnership with Kaleidoscope. We also have a lot of different community meetings that happen at the library that the library helps facilitate, such as the Keweenaw Hiking Association,
the Recycling Initiative,
the Hancock Home Study Group also meets at the library. We have a couple different community book clubs that also meet at the library as well. We have the Literary Liftbridge Society, which is relatively new, but about 40 members strong. And it's just amazing. If you have an idea, we want to partner with you, is essentially all I can say. Is we want to be that community center, that focal point for the community. And anything we can do to kind of bridge those areas that might have a need, we'd love to work with.
What has been the effect of having the peer established outside the library? Has this given you some more opportunities for outdoor activities, particularly through the summer?
Yes, and also a high use of our bathrooms, which is fine.
Oh, okay.
No. It's just the closest location on the pier, and everyone has been really good about it. No one's been bad with our restrooms. But we also have the city reach out to us in advance of when things are happening at the pier, and we do try to have something on the pier or in the library at the same time. It just can be tricky with communicating who's where and what. But we're trying to get better at it, and I'm hoping to dedicate more staff to that type of programming in the future.
Katrina, if somebody wants to get that library card, the new flashy ones with the local designs on them, how do they do that?
So you can do one of two things. You can start your application online at pldl.org. We have a nice button right on the front page for getting a library card. Or you can come in person and say hi to us at the Portage Lake District Library down here in downtown Houghton.
And if you are within the library district, no charge for the card.
No charge.
You're already paying for it through your taxes. If you're outside, there will be a charge, but it's basically the same that the in-district people are paying through their property taxes supporting the library.
So. Yep. Just remember to bring a form of ID and something with your current address on it.
Katrina Lindy Moriarty, thank you for being my guest on Copper Country today.
Thanks for having me again.